Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's May 27, 2014, and this is episode 423. I'm often asked which colour space to use in Photoshop, and when I tell people that it's best to work in Profoto RGB, I hear various reasons why people don't think it's necessary. One of the main ones is that the camera's widest colour space is Adobe RGB. But that, of course, is not true. Adobe RGB is available in cameras as a better alternative to sRGB, but it's only used in the JPEG previews that are embedded into your RAW files, or if for some reason you should shoot in JPEG, that's your lot. Once you have your images in Lightroom, though, Lightroom automatically uses Profoto RGB. But then when you go into Photoshop, you have a choice. And far too many people select Adobe RGB or even sRGB because that's what your images are going to end up in. Today I'm going to show you why that's a mistake. Here we are in an RGB color space, an sRGB color space. It's quite cramped in here though, so let's go outside and take a look at what we've got out here. Let's just move out. Okay, so here we see the sRGB color space from the outside. This is a lab LEB representation. This is probably the easiest way for us to look at this stuff. But as you can see, looking at it without any other color spaces to compare it to, it looks like a nice roomy apartment, but it's really not. So what we're going to do is I'm going to turn on. Here we go. I'm going to turn on Adobe RGB. So here we see now Adobe RGB is in wireframe here. This, all of this that you see here is additional color that the Adobe RGB color space can display. And this, again, it looks great. Lots of room there. But what, for example, does it look like when you throw a photo in there? I know that a lot of you probably you've seen this photograph. It's an old photograph of mine from a few years ago. This has not been played with in Photoshop or anything. These are the colors that I captured on the location. And if I show you, you can actually map the colors from photographs into this color space. And if you see down here, all of this that is now showing is in stuff from that photograph that will not map in either the sRGB or the Adobe RGB color space. If we bring this down just a little bit, you can see that inside the Adobe RGB, the color spaces, there's a lot of data there. It goes from red over to the slight greenish sort of area, but there's a lot of data, a lot of information in there that can't even be mapped on the sRGB or Adobe RGB color space. So you might be thinking to yourself, okay, so if they can't even be mapped on there, how come the camera can capture them? Well, it turns out that Capture One the Capture One software contains profiles for cameras. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to turn on this that we can see now is the 5D Mark III's profile. You can see that it's capable of capturing much larger, much more images, much more data than the smaller Adobe RGB or sRGB profiles. Now, you see here, there's a little bit of stuff coming out from the side there, probably because of some minor tweaks that I've done with the clarity or something in Lightroom. But you can see that the camera's profile is actually much wider than Adobe and sRGB. So this is why we can even capture more data. You see that the greens, we're capable of capturing a lot more information. And over here, we've got the, even all around this side, you can see that there's a whole bunch of data that's being recorded by the camera that cannot be represented in these two smaller color spaces. So let's see, where does this all fit in? I'm going to go back over here. So here we go. What I'm going to do now is turn on the Pro Photo color space. So are you ready for this? Bang! Look at that. This is the all-encompassing Pro Photo color space. As you can see, it's huge. This is actually cut off on the edges. The grids that you see here are where these are the edges of our visual perception for colors. So anything that goes over there, it actually is a little bit wider in some areas, but everything that goes over there is too big for us to see. So actually, I'm going to just turn the opacity down a little bit so you can still see what's inside. And you see that really there's it encompasses all of the other color spaces and a lot more. So when actually you can see here, there is a little bit poking out the top there. That's from the Canon color space. But as you can see, if you're going to do anything with your images and you want to create a little bit of wiggle room, and even if you don't, you know, the cameras are already creating more information than the Adobe and the sRGB color spaces can hold and manipulate. So this is why you should be working. I don't like to say should, but this is one of those times when you really should be working in Pro Photo RGB if possible. And of course, there are other things. I'm going to take a run through a few other considerations here. And for now, I'm going to turn off Pro Photo RGB because it stops us seeing so much else. And I'm going to just turn a few of, let's get rid of the camera one for now too. And the photograph. But the next thing I'm going to do, obviously, while we're here, we might as well look at what happens with printing, because printing does require a little bit of remapping. And of course, when you create profiles, what it's really doing is remapping the information between one color space and another. And I'm going to, let's see, turn a few of these off. So what we see here right now is a printer color space. This is for, it's a profile, another color space. This is for breathing colors pure or smooth. And this is quite a decent size gamut, you know, the range of colors that can be created with a printer. But even within various papers, pure or smooth is a matte paper. And if we turn on this wire frame, you can see here, this is actually for another breathing color paper called Vibrance Baryta. And it obviously has a much wider gamut. So what we've got here really is, you know, you can even compare the difference between the different types of media that you use. But of course, you know, this, it's not all about media. What about your monitors? So, you know, this, as I've just turned on here, is my IMAX monitor. And that looks pretty impressive too. You know, the iMac has got a good display on it. It's the new late 2013 iMac. So it's got the low reflection screen on there, and it's a pretty nice screen. But as I mentioned in the past, I also hooked this up to a pretty old now Azo monitor. And although they both look pretty much the same to the naked eye, this is the difference. The Azo is actually got a lot more wiggle room around the greens here, and the cyan side, magenta, it's lacking a little bit, but the and down at the blues there. But you know, basically, you can see that the Azo monitor is basically whooping the ass of the IMAX monitor when it comes to the actual mapped out color space or the profile. So let's turn those off again and go back. I'm going to turn on a camera color space. This is the 5D Mark III color space again. And I'm just going to show you as well that not all cameras are created equal. I've just turned on, this is the 1DX profile. And it's very similar. But if you can see here, actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the 1DX flat and make the 5D Mark III a wireframe, and that way you can see a little bit better that the 1DX is lacking just a little bit. Around here you can see that there are areas where the 5D actually beats the 1DX. And, you know, not trying to not keep it all in the Canon camp, you can also see here, this is the D800, the Nikon D800, and you can see that there are areas where the wireframe here is the 5D. You can see that there are huge areas where the 5D beats the D800. But there's also a few areas in these greens, the lime greens there, where the D800 wins as well. Pretty down here as well, you can see a whole bunch of areas where the 5D is slightly better. And then if you want to see what Sony are doing, the A7R actually, let me just go in and make the D700, sorry, the 5D, let's make the 5D flat. And you can see that the Sony A7R is pretty much whooping the butt of the 5D Mark III and the D800. It's got a wider profile pretty much around the whole of the color range. So that's basically a brief walkthrough of the color spaces. What I want to show you again once more, this is Profoto. So if you are going to do anything with your images, even just opening them, processing them, and closing them, the excuse that it takes a lot of messing around to work in Profoto is that's just pretty lame in my opinion. What you want to do in if you go into Photoshop, go to Edit, Color Settings, and make sure that the working space, RGB working space, is Profoto RGB. I always turn on Ask When Opening, Ask When Pasting, and Ask When Opening for missing profiles and for profile mismatches. And this just makes sure that you don't paste or copy or open images in the wrong color space. But as long as you do that, working in Profoto RGB is no trouble at all. And Lightroom, as I said, works in Profoto RGB by default, so you really don't have to think about it. Now, of course, when you export your images, you are going to want to specify sRGB if you're going to be sending them to the web. Sometimes you might need to export in Adobe RGB, say if you're going to send to some printing houses. Stock agencies as well sometimes want Adobe RGB. But this is when you export. You really don't want to limit the potential of your image to a smaller color space while you're editing or working with the images. So that's it. Once again, I wanted to just show you this because I am blown away by this representation. And you can just see, you know, Profoto is the way to go. So thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+, Twitter, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.